Well, welcome back to White Spot Giants this week here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Dan O'Connor, and September the 21st. Ordinarily, we would be in the thick of regular season WHL hockey right now, or I guess the beginnings of regular season WHL hockey. Ironically, 19 years ago to this day, the Vancouver Giants played their very first ever game at the Pacific Coliseum. It was against the Kamloops Blazers, and my next guest probably has an opinion or two on the Kamloops Blazers, but a fellow that has been on this show a few times over the years, a fellow that I've gotten to know quite well over the course of my now 10 years in the Western Hockey League, the radio broadcaster for the Kelowna Rockets, a pleasure as always to welcome Regan Bartel to White Spot Giants this week. Regan, loaded question, buddy, but how are you? Welcome to the show.
Dan, thanks for having me, and how am I doing? Well, it has been a roller coaster ride. A lot of, it's been, you know, really, it's been emotional. It's been mentally taxing. It's been physically taxing to a certain degree. I mean, you take a look back to when this all went down, this whole COVID thing. I remember the last game I did was actually on March the 11th. The Victoria Royals were in town, and it was interesting. I was driving my truck to Prospero Place, getting ready to talk to the coaching staff for, you know, the pregame chat that we normally have about 2 hours in advance of the game. And I was listening on the radio, and they were just talking a lot about COVID-19. And at that point, we didn't really know much about the pandemic. And I thought it was interesting where they were potentially talking of some games being postponed due to COVID-19. And so I thought my questioning on the coaches that I talked to, Chris Millett, the head coach of the Kelowna Rockets, and then talk with the Victoria Royal head coach, Dan Price, I thought my questioning would actually start with, oddly enough, the pandemic. It is weird questioning, but I thought I'd go there to start it off. And so I did pose the question of, you know, what happens? How do we deal with this unknown? Could there be the potential of games being postponed or potentially being canceled? And it was interesting to hear from Chris Millett. He thought I was kind of Debbie Downer when I was asking him these questions because, again, we didn't know where we were going to go here. But as it would turn out, games would be postponed and then eventually canceled. And so I felt like Nostradamus to a certain degree, looking into the future of where we're headed. But, you know, by no means did I believe, in fact, that this would happen. It would go this way. And again, it's been a mental and physical grind. I talk about the mental grind of it all because I would say I'm going to go about a month after the season was shut down. And you heard all the reports of, you know, those cases of COVID-19 and those experiencing what it's all about and the tough breathing and that type of thing. And there was a point, there was about a two-week period for me. It actually took in, I guess, maybe the mental aspect. I was trying to negotiate through it all. And I felt at times, again, over about a two-week span where I couldn't breathe like I normally could. And I remember like being inside my house and actually going outdoors to just get some, if you want to call it, fresh air. And again, I don't know if this was a mental battle. I don't know what I was dealing with there. I anticipate that's exactly what it was. And then, you know, you kind of tell yourself you're having problems and you believe that you're now feeling fatigue, like a lot of people have talked about when they have COVID-19. So, did I have COVID-19? I don't think I did, but I think mentally I was thinking that I potentially exhibited some of the symptoms, and so that's where I talk about the mental battle. Telling myself, no, I'm okay, but again, negotiating through it. It hasn't been easy during the entire thing, not only trying to deal without hockey, but also dealing with the fact that I don't have symptoms, yet my mind is saying I do.
How weird is it for you right now, Regan, for it to be September 21st and you and I are having a fairly relaxed conversation on a Monday about sports and about life compared to the go that we would otherwise find ourselves in?
Yeah, it's weird. It is really weird. I mean, this is my 26th season in the WHL. So for, you know, 25 September's, you know, early September, I'm ramping up. We're getting ready. Well, we're in rookie camp, obviously, in late August, and then you're getting into the exhibition schedule, and yeah, you're ramping up. You're getting excited. You're looking at the team. You're looking at the players. You're fully involved. You're interviewing the coaching staff. You're optimistic about the upcoming season. There's a lot of hype. You're getting ready for the fall, and now you're in no man's land. You're barely communicating with the coaching staff. You haven't been to the arena for what feels like forever. And even in talking to my wife, it's interesting. She's working from home right now, and she works at the university here at UBC Okanagan. But she's had to work from home since March, so essentially when the WHL season ended or was put on hold, that's when UBC Okanagan elected to have their employees work from home. And so we're talking about the fact that we've spent so much time together locked up in our house, and she wasn't sure she wanted me to be, you know, not going out and doing the games in the fall, because we thought maybe, you know, she'd go crazy, I'd go crazy, the fact that we were together for such long of a time. So it's been nuts just, you know, trying to get used to this. And it's, you know, they use the old adage, it's the new normal. I guess it is. But I've had good times. I've had bad times trying to deal with it. I'm trying to look at the positive side of the fact that I'm able to do things in late September and let's say even into October that I've never done before. We'll go camping in October. I haven't done that in 25 years. You know, we're going to try to do some things, try to take advantage of the opportunity of no hockey. But does it feel strange? Absolutely. And when we do get started, if we do start in December, I think I'm going to be as rusty as I've ever been.
You're not kidding. Right now, we're chatting with Regan Bartel. He is the radio broadcaster for the Kelowna Rockets. And, you know, Regan, I've over the course of the summer, I've actually had the chance to speak with Chris Millett. I've spoken with Paige Bednor. Is Kelowna just a really interesting conundrum, given the fact that 2020 the Rockets were supposed to host the Memorial Cup? Talk about the punch in the gut that kind of brought when the season had to be unfortunately canceled. And do we know anything about whether Kelowna will be awarded another opportunity sooner than later to make amends?
Yeah, Dan, it was a tough one, right? I mean, first of all, you know that when the season is put on pause, I just thought, okay, here we go. Memorial Cup is going to go right down the toilet. And that's exactly what happened. I really felt for the, you know, those that organized it, that spent so much time, vested so much energy into making the event in 2020, you know, a massive success. They wanted to raise the bar like they did back in 2004. And talking to Tom Dias, who was the chairman of the Memorial Cup Committee here in Kelowna, I interviewed him the day that they officially announced that the Memorial Cup would be canceled. And even in speaking to him, you could see he was tearing up. He was trying to hold back the tears. It was an emotional day for him. And my heart broke for these guys, for his entire committee, because of what they were able to do. Everything was put into place. We're ready to roll. We're ready to rock. The Kelowna Rocket organization making the trades that they did to bolster their roster to, you know, be a tremendous host team. And I know that the city of Kelowna was ready to show off like never before on exactly how spectacular it is here. And again, it was all thrown to the wayside. So I feel for the players, because the players are really looking forward to it. I think everybody, you know, if you look at the high echelon teams in the WHL, everybody thought they'd have the, you know, the chance to potentially win, you know, the WHL title. So again, for everything to essentially be evaporated right in front of your very eyes was a real tough thing to take. I think when you look at the big picture, though, because the Rockets organization and also the committee here in Kelowna did such a great job to get things rolling, and they were, you know, they're basically ready to host the tournament if it comes back again, I believe they will get the fair shake in 2023. I really do. I think if the team is, and I can't see how it can't be a good team in 2023, that when the governors, again, make their selections on who should get the tournament, I think the Rockets will get it again. So I think if you look at it from that standpoint, I don't think the Kamloops Blazers are very happy. I know that their owner, Tom Gilardi, has not been pleased with the way it all went down, the fact that Kelowna was awarded the tournament, sour grapes on his behalf. And he's mentioned numerous times where they got it wrong. The governors got it wrong. And you know, sure, he can say whatever he wants to say. I think when you look at Kamloops, you look at Kelowna, nothing against Kamloops. I know it's the tournament capital, but if you look at from where the games would be played at Prospero Place, right on essentially the lakeshore, how can you not say that the Kelowna bid wouldn't have been better than the Camelos bid, just aesthetically. And I know that they'll look and Camelos will look and say, we had a better team than Kelowna did. Well, again, when the Governors put forth their bids on who should get the tournament, the Kelowna Rockets are coming off a real good year. They had over, well, at that point, they had over 40 victories. And I know that you have to look ahead, you have to project ahead, and that should be some of the criteria in, I guess, selecting what team or what bid will eventually get the Memorial Cup. But the Rockets, again, had a real good year prior to. And so I don't know if that played a factor whatsoever. But, again, I think the Rocket fans, if you look at it in the big picture, look at 2023. Hopefully junior hockey will be back to normality. And the Rockets, again, will host the tournament and will show once again that while they were unable to pull it off in 2020, they'll be able to pull it off even greater in 2023.
Regan, you wrote something recently that that I thought was really entertaining, and I would urge anyone listening to this to check out, you know, Regan's blog, as it does a wonderful job of definitely kind of covering the Kelowna Rockets landscape and junior hockey. But you shared a story about a practice in Saskatchewan where you got to throw on the goalie pads and go on the ice with the team. Could you, in your own words, please share with our listener what happened?
Well, yeah, it was fun. We're going back a little bit here. Mark Habscheid was the head coach of the Kelowna Rockets, essentially from 2000, well, it would have been, you know, late 1999, until Mark Habscheid helped the Kelowna Rockets win the 2004 Memorial Cup. And I was the broadcaster of the Rockets. I came on board, actually, in the 2000 season, 2000-2001. And, yeah, we had one of these prairie road trips that you hear these BC teams, you know, every, what is it, second season, they go to the prairies for their, you know, Eastern Conference road trip, and we made a stop in Swift Current, and there's a little town which is north of Swift Current. It's called Stuart Valley, Saskatchewan. It is a small, it's a hamlet. It's really tiny. I mean, maybe there's 150 people that live there, maybe, you know. I mean, they do have a hockey arena, and this was an antiquated arena. I mean, it was spectacular, this Stuart Valley arena. I used to play, actually, hockey there as a kid. Minor hockey there. That was our big road trip. We'd go out to Stuart Valley and play some of the Stuart Valley teams. And just to give you an idea of what this arena was like, I mean, it was all wood. There were no Zambonis. It was brutally cold out there when you hit the ice surface. It was interesting because this just tells you how old the arena was. And those in the prairies will understand what I'm saying when the dressing rooms were built like up top, so you'd have to go up like I'd say like 20 stairs in order to get to the dressing room. So you'd be all geared up, and so then you'd walk onto the ice surface, but you had to go down these stairs. And so when you had skates on, it was trepidatious at best, and you'd see kids all geared up, excited to get on the ice, and so they'd try to negotiate down the steps, and everybody would crash. You'd slip and you'd crash into one another. And it was hilarious because you'd be watching from the concourse area, and you could just see all, especially the little guys, all, you know, landing on their keisters before they took to the ice just to get on there. So, again, it was just a real crazy arena. But so, yeah, Mark Habscheid, the head coach of the Kelowna Rockets, he wanted to do some team building. So that's why the Rockets went out to Stuart Valley for a bit of a practice. Mark allowed me, I'm a former goalie, so Mark allowed me to gear up. So I brought my equipment onto the bus and geared up with the players, went out onto the ice, and it was awesome. I mean, here I am in my late 20s. I got Kyle McLeod coming up on right wing, taking wrist shots at me, making a blocker save, and Bart Rushmer coming up on the left side, ripping one past me. But it was great. It was great to be a part of the entire thing. And fortunately for me, I didn't get hurt. And, you know, nowadays, I don't think they'd allow that. Liability issues would probably be one of the key concerns. But the fact that Mark Habscheid allowed me to practice with these guys is pretty cool. And again, Mark Habscheid was all about inclusivity. I mean, he wanted everybody involved, not even just the training staff, but also the radio guy to be a part of the team. So that's why I think I was allowed on the ice to practice with these guys. End of the practice, I'm on the ice. I'm in net at one end. And Mark Habscheid says, okay, everybody out on the ice. So everybody hops out on the ice. They throw a puck down, and it's a mad scramble. I mean, we break into teams, but it's a mad scramble. Of course, we've got everybody out on the ice. And Mark Habscheid is cherry-picking right at the blue line. Maybe it was inside the blue line. No rules, no referees. And so he picks up a lead pass, He skates in one-on-one with me. I'm saying to myself, do I allow the head coach of the Kelowna Rockets to score? I can't. I can't allow this to happen. Mark Havisham comes in, still had real slick hands, made a real nice move on the backhand, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. I wanted to make the save. So at the time, Dominik Hasek was one of the most popular goaltenders in the NHL. And you know how Dominik Hasek played. Mm-hmm. He was one of those goaltenders that would do absolutely whatever he could. He'd throw his body in various directions in order to make the save. So what I did is I did my best Dominik Hasek impression and kicked my pants up high in the air, flexed my neck, and maybe used that as a bit of leverage. And as Mark Havisham went to the backhand, I don't know if I actually touched the puck. I do believe it did hit the goalpost and then went out the far side. So essentially, I made the save. At least that's the story. That's the way I recall the sequence on exactly what happened. But again, it was just it was a fun moment. It was one of those great moments, I guess, from a broadcast standpoint, where you were able to, you know, literally be on the ice with the players, experience exactly how good, how quick they are, how hard they shoot the puck. And again, when I look at Mark Havisham allowing me that opportunity to play goal in a Kelowna Rocket practice, even though it was a very casual practice, for me, that just shows Mark Havisham and how inclusive he was, even allowing the radio broadcaster to be involved in the entire thing.
Regan, do you have any early memories that jump to mind about the early days of the Vancouver Giants, specifically kind of bringing it back to the fact that it was on this day 19 years ago that they played their first ever game at the Pacific Coliseum?
I do. I do remember, actually, one of the playoff games. Was it not? I don't know if it was their first playoff game ever. I remember, was it not the Rockets in round number one? Again, I got to go back.
Yep, you're on it. Yep.
Okay, I got to look at the archives. And I know there was a real bad blowout game, a real bad one. Like, the Rockets really took the Giants to the woodshed. But I remember there was a lot of hype with the Giant organization even at that time. And to be in Pacific Coliseum and calling the games there was tremendous. And I remember my first year in the building, and to be honest, I mean, I grew up in Saskatchewan, so I didn't know a lot about Pacific Coliseum at the time. But what I wanted to do is, before the game, I wanted to go up, like, high into the rafters where Jim Robson used to call the games. And they're kind of closed off. Like, for those that don't know, it's not easy to get there now. You don't call the play-by-play games from way, way, way up high in the gondola, if you want to put it that way. But what I did is, before the game, I snuck up there, to be honest with you. I snuck up there, and I walked across the wooden beams that lead you to the gondola where Jim Robson used to call the games. And that was cool. You walked in there, and you could just – You almost smell it. It just smelled old,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
And you have these two old chairs there, and you've got some of the antiquated equipment that still resides in that area. And just to sit there for a second, and just to imagine, you know, calling games in the 70s from that locale was pretty cool. And that's one thing that kind of stands out for me. I remember I was with my color man, Gordon McGarva, and he was freaking out because we were walking across the, you know, we're way, way, way up high in the rafters there at Pacific Coliseum. And Gordon McGarva was looking down on the ice, and he was freaking out because we were so high. And it was probably dangerous. We probably shouldn't have been up there. But in saying that, I took some photos because I thought maybe this is the one and only chance of me getting up this high at Pacific Coliseum. And because we don't play there anymore, at least I haven't been back there for such a long time, I'm glad I got those memories that I can, you know, look back to.
Two more questions for Regan Bartel, the voice of the Kelowna Rockets here on White Spot Giants this week. Regan, we've had a lot more time on our hands than we ordinarily would, and I think personally, one of the main benefits and bonuses that have come from a lot of this downtime, for lack of a better term, is the conversations that have shifted towards equality, racial injustice, etc. Even the WHL has gotten involved with the players, you know, creating their own Black Lives Matter video. Do you see this as something that is here to stay, even in junior hockey circles?
Absolutely, for sure. And, you know, it's interesting when you take a look to the, you know, the Kelowna Rocket organization. They've had a lot of players. Your Madison Bowies, Devontae Stevens is a good example. Tyrell Goulburn, you know, players like that. And the Rockets have really been, you know, good in making sure that everybody is sensitive, you know, to those teammates around them. And, you know, whether it be from a racial standpoint or whatever players may be, you know, going through, we're all different individuals, right? And I think we're getting a whole lot better at that, being a little more sensitive, maybe you want to call it maybe a little more politically correct. And that's okay. That's a good thing. And I think just a better understanding, I think educating yourself is probably the best thing. And, you know, you hear a lot of these players, you know, those that have been marginalized, that have talked about how they felt, you know, the racism. And it's something where, you know, a white man like me, it's interesting to hear their perspective. It really is, because I don't get it. I don't understand it, because I don't live it. But they live it. And that's where I'm glad that these guys have been able to speak out. They've been given the platform to speak out about this, because it does help us understand. I mean, when I take a look, when Madison Bowie was the team captain of the Kelowna Rockets, I knew he had a different skin color, but that was it. That was it. I did not look at him in any different way. I looked at him as an individual. I looked at him as a good captain. I looked at him as a hockey player. I looked at him as an equal human who was trying to make his mark in the National Hockey League. So, to me, I've never felt that. I've never felt like he was, or I never wanted him to feel like he was anything less than what he was. And I don't understand it. I don't get it. But the fact that these guys feel it and feel it on a daily basis, I'm glad that, again, we're all being educated a little bit more, and the WHL is taking the right steps in order to make sure that everybody feels like an equal, that nobody feels marginalized. And I think we can continue to get better at that. I don't think we'll ever solve it entirely, but again, we're taking steps in the right direction. And if we can be sensitive to one another and we can make everybody feel good, included, to me, again, we're doing a real good job in that regard. We can make better steps. We can make more steps. But again, we're gradually moving forward, and that's what you want to see.
Regan, my final question to you is this. What have you been reading? What have you been watching? What have you been listening to?
Oh, boy, that's interesting. You want to know? This is embarrassing. This is embarrassing. Okay, so my wife and I, we've been watching a lot of television together, and she's not a big sports fan, so let's just throw that out there. And again, there wasn't a lot of sports to watch during the height of the pandemic and during the shutdown. She's into baking. She's into baking, Dan.
Yep.
And I was watching this show. Now, I want to make sure that I got the title right. It's something to do with Canada's Greatest Baker, something like that.
Okay, yep.
Okay, so I watched episode number one. Okay, this is kind of whatever. It's not that good. And as I continued to watch this show, I was getting into it. It was actually not that bad. And we started binge watching this baking show. I can't cook a lick. But, again, it really, really, it drew me in. And so that's something that I started to really, really like. Have I been reading a lot? I've never really been a big reader. And that's something that when I look at my WHL time on the bus, I wish I would have read more, because I think obviously you become a little bit smarter. You get more ideas from individuals by reading more books. That's something I really haven't done. So did I read a good book over the last 6 months? Not really. So again, you know, we watched a couple of good movies that were fairly, you know, they were fairly decent. One that doesn't really stand out for me. But again, yeah, it's the baking shows.
I love it.
I don't know if I've gained any more weight because of it, but man, I'll tell you, it sure looks good. And it just amazes me that all the chemistry that's needed in order to make the yeast rise. I've learned a lot in that regard. So who knows? Maybe I'll make a bundt cake before we begin hockey again. Who knows?
Wonderful conversation, as always, with Regan Bartel, the radio play-by-play voice of the Kelowna Rockets here on White Spot Giants this week. Regan, always enjoy the conversation, and I'm really glad we got to have it today, making the Monday just a little bit brighter, and I sincerely do mean that. Thanks for this. Continued health, safety, and positivity to you, your family, of course, your boys, and I hope our paths cross soon, man. I really do. And I think we're hopefully trending in the right direction in order to make that happen. So when that day comes, it will be a day to celebrate indeed. Thanks for this. Best of luck to you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, Dan. appreciate it. And yeah, for Giant fans, keep the faith. Keep the faith for December the 4th. Let's hope it happens. Let's hope we play some hockey here and you can cheer on your favorite team. And that's what it's all about, friendly competition and sometimes escapism. That's a big thing with sports. It's all about entertainment at the end of the day. And right now, with so many negative things happening around the world, man, sports is paramount. That can keep our engines going. So hopefully, again, we play in early December. So, yeah, hope to see your smiling face in the not-so-distant future.
That has been White Spot Giants this week. Regan Bartel in segment number two. Justin Sordiff helped kick off the show. One more time, a big thanks to them and a big thanks to you as well for making this show a part of your Monday. I'm Dan O'Connor. We'll talk to you next week. This has been White Spot Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650.